एषं द्वन्द्वगतं भापं जनानं भुञ्जकर्मणां ते द्वन्द्वामोहन्यं वक्ता भजन्ते मां धृताव्रता।
Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. Purport. Those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. For those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regulative principles of religion, who have acted piously and have conquered sinful reactions, can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then gradually they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation in Krishna consciousness, in the association of pure devotees, who can deliver one from delusion. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that if one actually wants to be liberated, he must render service to the devotees. But one who associates with materialistic people is on the path leading to the darkest region of existence. All the devotees of the Lord traverse this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion. The impersonalists do not know that forgetting their constitutional position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. Unless one is reinstated in his own constitutional position, it is not possible to understand the Supreme Personality or to be fully engaged in his transcendental loving service with determination. Intelligent persons, jara marana mokshaya mam ashritya yathanti jay te brahmatha vibhu krishnam adhyatmam karma chalakam. Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. They are actually Brahman, because they entirely know everything about transcendental and fruitive activities. Lord Sri Krishna is here explaining to us how the gradual process of purification on the path of bhakti takes place. Krishna consciousness, or pure devotional service, is not a cheap thing. In fact, it is the rarest and most valuable thing. And it is the hardest thing to find. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that pure devotional service is very, very rarely achieved. And Krishna in the Gita also confirms, manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati shidhaye yatanam apishidhanam kaschid mam veti tatvata. Out of thousands among men, hardly one even endeavor for perfection. And out of those, hardly one know me in truth. If you want something cheap, you only have to pay cheap price. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us that if I were to compromise my philosophy
I would have millions of followers.
But because I am maintaining and preserving
the truth
of the highest knowledge of the Gita, therefore only very sincere people will come. I remember when Prabhupada was in San Francisco, he was preaching. He was very tolerant in what he would allow a person to continue doing and still give him a chance to be Krishna conscious. But he would never compromise in the philosophy. He would only speak the truth. But he was merciful to allow people to gradually come to that truth. So one time, he was giving a lecture. This was in Haight-Ashbury, the place which was like the place of pilgrimage for all the young generation who are seeking spiritual insight in life in the Western world. And Prabhupada was giving a lecture. And in the lecture, he was explaining that in order to properly advance in spiritual life, one must follow the four regulative principles of freedom. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. So it happened to be that one of the most famous musical bands in all of America happened to be there at the time. And they had long hairs and long beards, dressed in all sorts of crazy fashion. These people, very influential. And the leader of the band, he said, "No illicit sex? How can one live without illicit sex?" And he said, "I will join your movement, providing I don't have to give up illicit sex." And Prabhupada explained that you just chant Hare Krishna, you will make advancement. But if you want to really advance, you have to follow these four regulative principles, which includes no illicit sex. So this man, right in front of it, about 100 guests, he just got up and said, "Forget it," and walked out the door. And some people walked out with him. And Prabhupada, he smiled. He said, "What can we do?" He said, "We can only give the truth. If we give anything less, we will be cheaters. Those who want to be cheated, they will find someone who will cheat them. But someone in this world has to be giving the pure truth for those who are genuinely sincere." And then he said, "Better one moon than millions of stars. There are millions of stars in the sky, but when it is the moonless night, no one can see. There is no light. Stars give no light. But the one full moon brightens the entire atmosphere. There is not even any need for street lights on a full moon night. You can see everything around you quite nicely." So Prabhupada said, "Better one moon than a million stars. Because if we compromise the teachings of Krishna consciousness, there will be millions of stars, but it will give no light, no hope to the world. But if even one person takes the supreme truth seriously, that person can give light to all of humanity." So, if we really and truly want to advance in spiritual life, we have to make some sacrifice.
we have to be willing to be disciplined. Disciple means discipline. The fashionable gurus, they will say, you go on with what you're doing, give me some money, I will give you a mantra, and that will be all right. Or you just come and hear my pravachan and be happy. But those who genuinely, sincerely care for your soul, they will tell you frankly that if you want to make spiritual advancement, you have to accept discipline. You have to accept a subordinate position and take guidance from superior saintly persons. Otherwise, real spiritual life is nothing more than a phantasmagoria. If someone is not disciplining and teaching the highest truth of how to live in harmony with God, then that person's spiritual message to you is like a mirage. It sounds wonderful, but you'll never reach it. Do you know what a mirage is in a desert? It looks like water, exactly, and you're chasing after it, but you never reach it. It's always a few steps in front of you. And day after day after day, you're chasing this mirage, but it always happens to be just in front of you, and you never reach it. So one who hears transcendental discourses, one who studies the scripture, but who is not willing to accept the highest truth of being disciplined in life spiritually, making sacrifice, our spirituality remains like a mirage. We see it, we like it, but we can't touch it, we can't taste it, we can't experience it in truth. Here it is explained that persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. To engage, some people think that bhakti is a simple path that is meant for women and children, and gyan is for people who are real men, intelligent, advanced. But Krishna is not explaining like this in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is explaining that bhakti is the highest principle. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavam ambapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma satulava. Krishna says after many births and death, one who is actually in knowledge, one who goes through all the different systems of yoga and religion, when finally coming to the platform of knowledge, then he begins the process of bhakti. He surrenders to me. And here Krishna is explaining that to engage, if you see someone engaging in Krishna's service with determination, you should know that this person has already in previous lives fulfilled all the previous systems of yoga, religion, and spirituality. He's gone through them, he's passed beyond them. It's very rare. He's not speaking of someone who's just a pseudo-devotee. He's speaking of someone who is serving him with determination. This is the highest position. It is not to be taken cheaply. And therefore, the Bhagavatam describes that if you can find such a person, Prahlad Maharaj says, you should take the dust of his feet and roll in that dust, smear it all over your body. Now, what does it mean to take the dust and smear it all over your body and roll in it? We are speaking that nothing in Krishna consciousness is cheap. It's not that simply by going on with our ordinary life, and then just taking our hand and grabbing the feet and putting it on our head that we're going to get purified. That is not what the dust of the feet represents. The feet are the lowest part of a man's body. When you humble your head, not simply physically, but in your heart, when you humble yourself before that person, submissively inquire from him, willing to accept what he says and follow that teaching, that is to roll in the dust of the great souls. Do not think it is so cheap that you just take some particles from the feet and put it. That means absolutely nothing. There's no purification that takes place through that process. The dust of the feet means to humble yourself to his words, to humble yourself to be his servant. Sometimes when Srila Prabhupada would be in India, people would try to touch his feet. He would say, forget this, just follow what I say. That's what it means to touch the feet. This is all cheap. Surrender is the threshold for spiritual advancement. It is not a cheap thing. Prema Bhakti is the most valuable. It is the crest jewel of all wealth within its entire creation. And that crest jewel of all wealth in the form of pure devotion is only obtainable through the mercy of the Lord's devotees. So, one may ask, what if I have not acted piously in previous lives? What if my sinful actions are not completely eradicated? What is my hope? Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Mam hi parthive paashritya, that even those who are of the lowest, most sinful order of life, if they take to my loving service, they are quickly purified and attain the highest destination. Whatever our qualification or disqualification may be, if we simply put ourselves, our life, under the shelter of those who are fully engaged in the loving service of the Lord, then by their mercy, by their mercy only, we are qualified. When Srila Prabhupada was sitting in San Francisco with all of these hippies, who from the moment of their conception were nourishing their body on meat, many of them addicted to intoxication, not following any religious principles, not even knowing about them, being completely ignorant and unconscious. They said, what was our qualification for taking to the highest platform of pure love of God, bhakti? Prabhupada said, you had no qualification. I made your qualification. You simply accepted the mercy coming through me. That is your only qualification. And then Prabhupada explained that you are, all of you, in many ways are more fortunate than the pious people in India. Because the pious people in India think they have some qualification. And therefore, they go on with their piety, and that's very nice, but they never come to the platform of surrendering. Very rare. But because you're all fully conscious that you have no qualifications, you understand there's only one hope, and that's to surrender. Krishna doesn't care where you've been. He only cares where you are right now. Krishna could not care less if you were the most sinful of all sinners yesterday, or if you were the most pious gentleman giving in charity to all in need yesterday, if you surrender to him today. He sees both equal. Of course, it's better to be pious and remain pious than to be sinful and remain sinful. There is no argument about that. But neither one is enough to release you from the cycle of birth and death. When you surrender and say, Krishna, from this day on, I am yours. From this day, I will humble myself before your divine name, and I will humble myself at the feet of your devotees. At that time, Krishna receives you within his own loving arms. There's no consideration of past or of the past. This is Krishna consciousness. Therefore, sarva dharman purityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papevyo mokshaye samivasa. Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion. Religion means simply trying to be pious, performing rituals with some motive for some higher material pleasures in life. Abandon all such varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall relieve you of all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So therefore, a devotee of the Lord is not very much concerned with what a person has done. A devotee is concerned with the present state of sincerity in that person's heart and how he is willing to make his future today. Huh? Prabhupada said that the youth of India are this far from Krishna, but they're running this way. He said many of the youth of America, they are this far from Krishna, but they are running this way. It's a long way, but at least they're in the right direction. But if the youth of India were to simply turn around, they're only that far from Krishna. So close. So therefore, the greatest need within the society of India is to educate the youth in the principles of the truth. Because the future of this country is in the hands of the youth. So if you are a young man or a young woman, you should know that factually, to a large extent, the future of the world is in your hands spiritually. One person who turns to Krishna with sincere heart, Krishna can do miracles through that person. He can do miracles through you. Do not underestimate the power and glory of God. When we turn to Krishna and give our heart to him, we are a puppet in his hands. What we could never do before, he could do through us with no problem at all. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was illiterate. He could practically not read or write. But because of his sincere heart turning to Krishna, he can quote all the slokas and all the conclusions of the shastras. How is that possible? It is not possible for us, but for Krishna, what is not possible? Even the greatest, most learned scholars, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the most learned of all scholars of the day, and his father was a Paramhamsa, the greatest devotee of the age, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So what a qualified person this Bhaktisiddhanta was. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati fell at the feet of this illiterate Babaji, begging him for his mercy. Gaurakishore said, "What can I teach you? You know the scriptures thoroughly. I can't even read them. All I do is sit here and chant Hare Krishna. That's all I know." Bhakti Siddhanta says that Krishna is manifesting himself through you more than anyone else on earth. Therefore, I surrender to you. Gaurakishore did not know that Krishna was manifesting himself through him. He was humble and simple. It is a fact that Krishna can reveal himself in miraculous way through anybody who simply turns to him. Lord Ramchandra, when the monkeys turned to him, he turned them into the greatest saints. He turned them into perfectly liberated souls who could perform the mightiest feats of strength, defeat the Rakshasa army of Ravana, the most powerful army in all the world. Even the demigods were fearful of them. What were their qualifications? Simple monkeys. But because they accepted Ram, because they said, "Ram, we are yours. We will do your tidings." Ram manifested his glory through them. So this is the great hope for all of us. Simply put your trust, put your faith in Krishna, in his representatives. And be willing to make a sacrifice. Be willing to accept discipline in your life for the higher purposes of self-realization. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva lokamaheshwaram. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam tayaparita chetasam vyabashayatma kabur here shamadho navadiyate. Krishna says those who are too much attached to material opulence and sense gratification, they cannot have determination for devotion to God. Only those persons who are willing to accept the dust of the lotus feet of the great souls. That means those who are willing to bow their heads and accept the instruction of the great souls and serve those instructions. Those persons, by the grace of God, are endowed with the determination to overcome all the obstacles of Maya. And what is the first and the greatest of all sacrifices? To discipline ourselves, to regularly chant the holy name of the Lord. Jagyai Shishta Shinashpanta. The supreme sacrifice in this age of Kali Yuga is the chanting of the holy name. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Of sacrifices, I am the chanting of japa, the sacred syllable of God's name." This chanting of the holy name, you must know that it is a discipline, it is a sacrifice. That must means it must be done regularly. Every day, we must have a minimum quota of how much we're going to chant each and every day. And when we are chanting, we must, with all of our mental and physical strength, we must sit properly and we must attentively hear the sound vibration of Harinam. If we are just casually Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, or whether even if we're doing it silently, if we're just casually thinking about so many things in life during the time of japa, there's no sacrifice. The fact is, the more restless and turbulent and stubborn your mind is, the more it is an opportunity to perform a sacrifice of struggling. Sacrifice means struggle. It means giving up. We have to sacrifice all our human energies to somehow or other battle against this turbulent mind and bring it back somehow or other to the name. And it's never a losing battle, because Krishna simply sees how much you're trying, how much you're making a sacrifice. Krishna told Arjuna, you just fight for me as hard as you can. Win or lose, your life is perfect. I'm not concerned with whether you win or lose. I'm only concerned that you try to win. For me. The best you can. And either way, you are mine. Your life is perfect. So chanting japa is declaring war against our mind. Kirtan is the same thing. When we are chanting the holy name, we are declaring war against the turbulence and the maya which has taken captivity of our mind. And it's a battle. That's why we read Bhagavad Gita. Because if you do not understand the teachings of Gita, you will not understand even how to chant the holy name. You'll take it cheaply. It's a sacrifice. It's a fight. Simply do it for Krishna. Fight for Krishna. What is the battle? To simply hear. To simply be attentive. And if you try, your life is successful. Then Krishna will very soon reward you with his mercy. But throughout the day, we also have to battle. It is a sacrifice to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness. Then our spiritual life, you see, is no longer simply dry ritualistic religiosity. But when there is this type of sacrifice that I'm telling you about now, with an eagerness to do more, whether we feel like it or not, an eagerness to serve the great souls, an eagerness to hear the great souls, an eagerness to chant the holy names and follow the other instructions of the great soul, that makes spiritual life dynamic, exciting, and full of Krishna's mercy. Otherwise, without that discipline, without that sacrifice, you will find that your Krishna consciousness will simply become dry, external, superficial religiosity. I've been performing my puja, I've been chanting my rounds for years, and I'm bored. Is there anything else to do? Let me enjoy something else. The taste and the sweetness of Krishna comes according to how much you are willing to give for his sake. And that sweetness is supreme. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. The infinite sweetness contained within the name of Krishna. Rupa Goswami explains it is like an unlimited ocean compared to the insignificant drops of pleasure that one gains even from the highest enjoyments of this world. Let us struggle, let us strive, let us give anything required to taste the name of Krishna. It is not cheap, but it is worth it. It is the supreme benediction for all humanity, and it is the fulfillment of all of our desires eternally. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? All the goddesses. It takes place once every 4 years, generally, during the month of Purushottam Mas. There are two Ekadasis, but especially the Ekadasi of the dark night, the dark moon. Lord Krishna in Padma Purana says it is Parama Ekadasi, the supreme. He recommends that on this day, if at all possible, one should not take food, one should not take water, and one should not take rest from sunrise to sunrise. It's especially recommended on this night that all night long one chants the holy name of the Lord till sunrise. One gets great, great spiritual benefits. It is described that Kuvera, he approached Lord Shiva and said, "How can I best please you?" He said, "Follow this Ekadasi." And simply by following this Ekadasi, he was promoted to be the treasurer of all the demigods. Of course, it is said that after this, one should also follow a fast for 5 days after. That means eating very, either just drinking water or eating only sattvic food. There was a story in the Padma Purana about a lady who had a husband and family, and they were so poor. Her husband was a Brahmin. He used to go out begging every day, but because of his bad karma, he could never collect anything. And he would come back home every day empty-handed, and his family was starving. Somehow or other, they were just barely surviving. And she would say to him, can't you do any better? Look at all of us. He says, "I'm trying my best. I go out begging. Nobody gives to me. Some horrible karma I have." He didn't know what to do. So they approached one great sage and said, "What should we do?" He said, "You follow this Purushottam Ekadasi strictly." They followed this Purushottam Ekadasi on this day. Same way. They did not take any drink, any water. They did not rest. And from sunset to sunrise, they simply did kirtan. And after that, after the Ekadasi was finished, someone came to them and said, "Oh, you are so-and-so, come with me." They brought them into a very nice palatial building. And of course, in the same mood of Sudama Brahman, they understand that this is the mercy of the Lord. And not even being attached to what they were given, with tears of love in their eyes, they worship the Lord. The greatest wealth is the wealth of devotion. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one song, Shuddha Bhakta, he said that Ekadasi is the mother of devotion for those who observe it. What does Ekadasi mean? It means a day when we reduce everything else in our life to its minimum, so that we can put all of our possible energy in remembering Krishna. We should increase the number of chanting of our rounds. Prabhupada recommended you are chanting 16 on Ekadasi, you should chant at least 25 rounds. But that's not all. If you can, you should chant all day long. If somehow or other you're given that opportunity, you should simply hear and chant, read the scriptures, do the puja, and chant the holy names all day long. No need to eat, no need to drink, no need to sleep. But if you must eat or sleep, take as little as possible. Whatever. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, his disciples, he had them strictly following Ekadasi. But one of them was sick and had to preach. So Bhakti Siddhanta, he said, "I will not be able to go to this program. I'm too weak to preach." Bhakti Siddhanta said, "Then you eat. For doing our service, this is the greatest sacrifice. This is more important than fasting, is doing our service. But if you can do both, you should do both. Then you will get the highest benefit." But preaching is the greatest service we can. cannot put that aside for anything else. So, of course, we do not eat grains or beans which are heavy. We eat only those things that are very light. Why do we eat only those things that are light? So that the maximum amount of our energy is not going into digestion, not going into eating, not going into shaving. It goes into Nam Bhajan. Remembering Krishna by chanting his name. And Bhakti Vinod says, those who observe Ekadasi in this way, it is the mother of devotion. What is the position of a mother? She gives birth. Ekadasi is the mother of devotion because she can give birth to bhakti within your heart. And a mother not only gives birth, but also nourishes the child. So Ekadasi is like our mother. Why does Krishna create it? There are many stories in the Puranas, but in essence, Krishna wants to give us a regulated opportunity twice a month to really, really, truly take our sadhana seriously. We should take advantage of the opportunity as much as possible. We will never be the loser. Of course, we should take the opportunity every day at every moment. But these special days remind us of the necessity. They create a change in our life. We're not allowed to eat what we usually eat. We're not allowed to do certain things we usually do. It gives us a jolt, a change in our life, which simply makes our Krishna consciousness more fresh and more perseverant and more determination for the rest of the month. So by following these principles, Krishna consciousness becomes our natural life. It is the natural life of the soul. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.